Good morning. It's good to see you all this morning. Let me go over just a few announcements with us as we get ready for our worship service. Looking forward to worshiping with you all this morning. I hope that you come this morning ready and expected to hear what the Lord has to say to us through song and through His Word. We are going to be in the Gospel according to Luke this morning. So if you want to be, just so that you'll know where we're going to be at. But let me go over just a few announcements with you. You're invited to a baby shower in honor of Carson and Trevor Williams next Sunday, September the 15th at 2 p.m. at the Gathering Place. Details and registration information are available in today's bulletin. If you'd like to know more about this, just see Tony Schulte, and he knows all the information about this. So that's what I said in the first service. So if you have any questions about that, see Tony. He can make sure that he can answer any questions about this. Right, Carson? As a matter of fact, just see Carson. Registration begins today for the Children's Church movie outing on September the 29th. Kenny wanted me to let you all know this is for anybody and everyone, just not children. So if you wanted to come for that, please see the bulletin for details. Children must sign up no later than Wednesday, September the 25th to allow Brother Kenny to purchase the proper number of tickets, okay? Also, Baptist Children's Home and Family Services in Carmine will hold its annual fall festival on Saturday, September the 21st from 10 to 2. If you'd like to help with the Waldo booth or would like to more information, please speak with Jordan or Megan McClellan on that as well. Let me just also just share with you all that October the 6th will be my last time in the pulpit as head pastor here at Waldo Baptist Church. And so I know it's been a lot of prayer and preparation for this. Nate Martin will start on October the 7th, and his first time in the pulpit will be that following Sunday. And so it is such an honor and a privilege to be able to be your pastor for the past 15 years. I want you to know how much I love you and how much I appreciate you all. You all have ministered to me more than I could have ever ministered to you all. And so, but I will be out of the pulpit the next two Sundays. And so next Sunday I'll be preaching a homecoming service at Olive Baptist Church. So pray for that. And then the Sunday after that I'll be on vacation. But I'll be back in the pulpit the last Sunday of September and that first Sunday in October. And so be praying that God would steer me and lead me in what I'm going to be preaching on those last two Sundays. And I hope today that in the Word of God that it encourages you as much as it has encouraged me as I've been studying Luke 15. And a lot of times you're going to look at this and think it's the prodigal son. And I really don't like that title. We're going to look at it more as loving father, more than the prodigal son. Okay? Because it's not about the sons, it's about the father. And that's what we're going to talk about today, how much the father loves us and how much the father loves the son. Okay? Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, as we open up this morning, we praise You, we exalt You, and there's no words in the English language or any language that can exalt You any higher than You already are. There's no words that we can describe You as that's going to describe You any better than You already are, our feeblest attempts. But Lord, I pray that God, in Your grace and mercy, Father, You see that our hearts are bent toward loving You as believers. As believers. But Lord, we are so feeble in the way that we show it and in the way that we express. And so, Father, I pray this morning and in our feeblest ways that we just say that we love You and we praise You. But Lord, we can't even fathom Your love toward us. You loved us even when we were yet sinners. You loved us in all of our flaws and all of our deadness. And Lord, You died on the old rugged cross for us. Father, let us see today just a small glimpse of Your love for us. And we give You all the glory. And let us sing to You now with hearts that are ready and prepared after seeing the grace and mercy in our lives. Lord, sometimes we can just go through life nonchalantly. But let us pause and let's take a moment this morning to look at Your goodness in our life. You saved a wretch like us. And we give You today all the glory. In Jesus' name, Amen. Let's all stand together. Amen, baby girl.
Good morning, church. It's good to be here with y'all. One thing you'll notice, the music this morning is going to be a little bit different than what's in your bulletin and what I had posted online. We had a couple of last-minute changes. So we're going to have the words up on the screen for this first song. If you would rather use a hymnal, it's number 2. We also have the words up on the screen, and we're going to sing Holy, Holy, Holy. And before we do that, I want to read from Isaiah chapter 6. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up. The train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, and with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one called to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Our God is set apart. He is holy. And we're going to sing to him together this morning. Holy, holy, holy. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, early in the morning our song shall rise to thee. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in 3 persons, blessed Trinity. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim calling down before thee, who were and are and evermore shall be. Holy, 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 though the darkness hide thee, though the eye of sinful man thy glory may not see, only thou art holy. There is none beside thee, perfect in power, in love and purity. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Thy words shall praise thy name in earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in 3 persons, blessed Trinity. We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of his mercy and love, at the feet of Jesus, and we cry, holy, 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 and we cry, holy, holy, holy.
fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. He is the Lamb. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. And we cry, holy, holy, holy. He is the Lamb. We fall down, we lay our crowns at the feet of Jesus. The greatness of mercy and love at the feet of Jesus.
And we cry,
holy, holy, holy.
And we cry,
holy, holy, holy.
And we cry,
holy, 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 holy. He is the Lamb.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below.
Praise Him above me, heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost.
Seated. We can have our ushers come now as we worship with our tithes and our offerings. I would appreciate it. I was back here shaking hands a while ago and I accidentally ran into that little stand with holding the bulletins. And Daryl was going to do a test on me, sobriety test. I said, I'm good. Just was shaking hands, not looking where I was going. All right. Come on, John. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. John, would you bless it?
Father, we thank you for the day that you've given us today, Lord. Lord, we just thank you for your sacrifice, Lord. You give us the will to show us the mercy and grace that you've given us. Father, we ask you to bless this offering.
For what can take a dying man and raise him up to life again? For what can heal a wounded soul? For what can make us white as snow? What can fill the emptiness? For what can mend our brokenness? Mighty, awesome, wonderful is the holy cross, where the Lamb laid down his life to lift us from the fall. Mighty is the power of the cross. What restores our faith in God? What reveals the Father's love? What can lead the wayward home? What can melt a heart of stone? What can free the guilty ones? What can save and overcome? Mighty, awesome, wonderful is the holy cross, where the Lamb laid down his life to lift us from the fall. Mighty is the power of the cross. It's a miracle to me, it's a miracle to me, and it's still a mystery, it's still a mystery. It's a miracle to me, the power of God for those who believe. Mighty, awesome, wonderful is the holy cross, where the Lamb laid down his life to lift us from the fall. Mighty is the power of mighty is the power of the cross.
If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15. And as you're turning there, I'm going to get situated here as we look through the Scriptures. Sometimes we can look at someone else's family and think, I wish that I had their family. Because sometimes we think that someone else's family has it all together. And maybe at that moment in your life, your family doesn't have it all together. And things are not going the way that you want them to go. Or maybe there is brokenness within the home and it's heartache going on in the home. And sometimes we can look at someone else and say, boy, I wish my family looked like that. Or I wish that we could be this way. The truth of the matter is that there is no perfect family. And sometimes you can look at someone else and think, boy, if I had that, we would be okay. And the realization is that we're all broken. We all have broken situations. We all have broken families. And you can even look at this situation here with the loving father. And the Bible was going to tell us, we're going to read here in a minute, that he had two sons. And there was some brokenness going on in that. And one of his sons is ready to leave the house, and he's ready to go on his own. He's ready to do his own thing, and it's how he went about it. And you think about, I thought this week as I was thinking on this and studying on this, how the father's heart must have been so broken When the son says, just give me my inheritance and let me go on my way and let me do what I want to do. I really want us to see here, I hope you're taking notes, because this will be a message from the Lord that will go with us for years to come. It's one of those messages, that would just teach you and continue teaching you and continue reminding you of the Father's love for us. See, if we're just reading this passage of Scripture on the surface, we would look at it as what many of us have heard through our lifetime is the prodigal son. And if we're not careful, you put emphasis on this son who's gone away and who's come back and all this, but that's not what the emphasis is to be about at all. The emphasis is the father. This father had two sons. And there is a story behind the story, and I want us to get behind the story to see these two sons that is going to be mentioned here, but the main person and the main character in this story is about the loving father. And we have a loving father. And our Father in heaven is the Father of the fatherless. So maybe you have grown up without a father and you didn't really have a father that was present in your life. I want you to know that God is the Father of the fatherless. And that He loves you more than you can ever even imagine, more than you can ever even think of. You see, we look at our kids and say, boy, we really love our kids. But our love doesn't even compare to the love that the Father has toward us. You can love your kids with everything you have, but let me just say this too. Your love doesn't even compare to the Father's love for your own kids, for your own grandkids. He loves them so much that we can't even fathom His love. There is a great chance that you've come into these doors this morning and you know what? You have felt so broken. You felt broken over things in life and over family situations and all of these things. I just really feel that I need to say this morning. God loves you. And you can't even get, and I can't even get how much He loves you and how much He's caring for you behind the scenes. And you don't even realize that. And I don't even realize how much He loves us. So let's kind of dig into this passage of Scripture. And I'm going to read, and then I'm going to come back and reread. And I'm going to give you some things to write down. And I pray and hope that you listen so intently and so closely to what God has to say to us here this morning. In chapter 15 and verse 11, let's go ahead and stand at the reading of God's Word.
And then we'll back up
and reread. So Jesus continued, there was a man who had two sons. And the younger one said to his father, Father, give me my share of the estate. So he divided up his property between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and he set off for a distant country. And there he squandered his wealth in wild living. And after he had spent everything there, a severe famine in that land came in the whole countryside. And when he began to be in need, so he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. And when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son and threw his arms around him and he kissed him. You may be seated. I've kind of entitled this message, Grace in a Hog Pen. Grace in a Hog Pen. How far one is willing to go in order to live like they please. How far one is willing to go in order to live like they please. There's four things that I'm going to give us this morning that we can learn from, and I hope that you write these down. And underneath these four things, of course, there are going to be some more bullet points that I want us to learn from. The very first thing that we see in this is the son's rebellion. We see that in the son's rebellion, there is this first thing called self-centeredness. Now, what does that literally mean to be self-centered? It means that self is all about you. And you're all about yourself, and that you want what you want, when you want it, and how you want it. And you don't care who you step on to get it. You don't care about anyone else but your own self-centeredness. Many times we will come back and say, well, that's not me then. I'm not really self-centered. But really, the truth of the matter is, we're all self-centered. We have a tendency and an inclination to all go to what we want and how we want it. And here this son was very self-centered, and in this is his rebellion. You see, the nature of this request actually says, I wish you were already dead so that I could get my inheritance. I mean, can you imagine the father? Can you imagine his heart and how it must have been broken when this son, this younger one, came to his father and says, give me my share of the inheritance. And so he divided up his property between the two. And what this son was literally saying was, Dad, I wish you were already dead. Because normally you didn't get an inheritance until the parents died. And when the parents died, it was then divided amongst the children as to who was going to get what. But this young son who was rebellious and who wanted to be his own person and wanted to do what he wanted to do was so self-centered that he literally said to his dad, I wish you were already gone. Then I wouldn't have to come to you and ask you for already my share of the inheritance. Can you imagine how the father must have felt whenever that son said that? And when we think about this in the realms of our Heavenly Father, and how we say, Father, we don't want what you want for us. We want to go and do our own thing. We want to do our own thing. We want to be our own person. Whenever we go our own way, you know what that's called? It's called self-centeredness. It's not lining up with what God wants out of our life. And we're going to see here in just a moment of His love. But not only was this son self-centered, he was also self-controlled. We see that he had this grand illusion about what the world had to offer. That the world looked so much better than what he already had with the Father. And you see, that's what sin does. Sin gives this grand illusion that all these other things are so much better. That if I just had them, then I would be okay. If I would just have this car, if I would just have this house, or if I had this phone, or if I had this computer, or if I had this, it would be so much better in my life. And that's what was going on with this young son. He saw this world out there, and he wanted to go and take what he wanted out of this world. And there was a grand illusion. I got news for us all that if you follow the ways of the world, it is a grand illusion that will only leave you hurt and broken and in shambles. All of these friends that he wanted to make and all of these friends that he was surrounding himself with were friends that were taking him down a wrong road. Have you ever been around those friends that would take you down a wrong road? You see, they were under this illusion of the world too, and they were following these things that looked really good, but in the end, they were so destructive. And in this destruction of this young boy who's had all of these friends and he had all of this money, and all of a sudden this money that was large is now shrinking and is going down. You see, That sin will take you to the depths that you don't want to go and keep you longer than you would like to stay and hurt you more than you want to be hurt. Look what it says in verse 13. He says, not long after that, let me back up just a little bit. When he says to his father, Father, give me. I want you to take high note of that. Father, give me my share. Give me. Circle that. Not long after that, the younger son got together all he had and he set off for a distant country. You see, sin will take you to places that you think you want to go until you're there and then you realize, how did I get here? Sin will take you further than you want to go, keep you longer than you want to stay, and hurt you more than you want to be hurt. And not just hurt you. Can you imagine? It was hurting himself that he was going down that road to a distant country. But who else did it hurt? It hurt the father. It hurt his heart. You see, whenever you go in your way and not God's way, it hurts the father's heart. He wants you to go in His ways and He wants you to follow in His ways and don't listen to what this world has to offer. I'm speaking to you from high experience. I am one of those who followed after the ways of the world. I am one of those who got sucked into the illusion that if I did this, everything is going to be great. And then I got there and it wasn't great. In this world today, it's sucking young people in at greater and faster rates than ever before because of what we see in social media and all of these things. And I want you to know, young people and elderly, that your position and your identity doesn't rest on how many likes you get or how many shares you get and all of that. Your identity is who you are in Jesus Christ. That God has made you in His image, in His likeness. And this world wants to shape you into the image that it says for you. And it will take you down a road that is self-centered. It will take you down a road that is self-controlled. And it will take you down a road that is self-destructive. You see, this young son was living for the moment. He was living for the moment. He wasn't living for Christ and His direction that He was wanting to take him down the road tomorrow and the next day, but he was living for the moment. And at this moment that he gets to the end of himself, we see that these friends that he once had, when the money ran out, there was no friends to be seen. Those friends that you think are your friends, whenever you don't go the way that they want you to go, you know what you'll find? That they will disperse. There are people, believe me, that want to control your life, that want you to follow them, and when you don't follow them, they will back away from you. I was listening to one of the stories this week at one of the conferences, and it was John Lennox, and he was at Cambridge, and his faith is in Christ, and he had just asked one of the other professors there at Cambridge about where God is in the equation of the school and of these professors. And the professor pulled him aside in a room by himself and got some of the other professors with him. And he told John Lennox that if you continue to follow in this path of following the Lord, you will never make it in life. These were some of the highest prestigious teachers at Cambridge. And they had him in the center of a room. And they gathered around him and told him, don't go there, John. You won't ever make it if you do. And John stood up. And he walked out of that room. And he said that he will never turn against his Lord and Savior. He's one of the most profound minds of the Christian faith there is in the world today. But he didn't listen to them. It would have been easy for him to listen to them and gain notoriety with his peers. But he didn't listen to them. And there's going to be some of your friends that are going to tell you to go this way. You don't have to listen to them. You listen to the Lord. You let Him be your guide. And you follow Him, because if not, it will lead to self-destruction. You see, the devil will tempt you with the sweet corn of life, but will choke you on the cob. It will look so good. One of my favorite cartoons is Pinocchio. He was a wooden boy, remember? And he got led astray, and he went the world's way. And he thought it looked awesome and beautiful and fabulous until he realized that he was in big trouble. He was in big trouble. And that's what the world does, is it makes everything look glamorous. It makes everything look great. Then we see a transition here from the son's rebellion to the son's repentance. To turning away, let's walk our way on down through. So he set off for a distant country, and there he squandered his wealth and wild living. And after he had spent everything, there was a severe famine. Isn't that just like God, to bring a famine in your life when you're not following Him? If you're not following Him and you're not listening to Him, God will bring a famine in your life. And in a whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to the citizen of that country, who sent him to his fields to feed the pigs. And you got to realize, the Jews didn't feed pigs. They didn't even eat them. So now he's in the lowest of the low. He is in the hog pen eating the food that the pigs would eat. There is no pit so deep that God's love doesn't go deeper. I want you to know that this morning, that there is no pit so deep that you can't be at the lowest point. Because I've heard people say, there's no way that God can save me. Oh, if you know what I've been through, if you know what I've done, if you know where I'm at, there's no way that God can save me. I'm going to say, yes, there is. There is no place that you can go from God's grace. And where you're at, God will meet you where you are, in the lowest place of your life. God can resurrect you. God can lift you up from that place. You have to know that this morning. And here we see, it says that he longed to fill his stomachs with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. Isn't it amazing when you get to that point, no one's around? In verse 17, and when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. You see, we see the son's repentance, that what he do, he came to himself. He came to his senses. He realized that what he had and what he had lost. And it's never too late to run to God, until it's too late to run to God. And I think you know what I mean when I say that, but as for us right now, it's never too late to turn from your sin. It's never too late to turn from your pride. It's never too late to turn from that and turn to God. At this moment is the greatest time to turn from your sin. But there will come a time that when we breathe our last, it will be too late. If you've never repented of your sin, and you've never put your faith and trust in Christ, today is the day of salvation. And here he came to his senses. He recognized what sin had cost him. And he found out who his friends were and how much his family meant to him. There is so many who, let me just say this in being careful in saying this, that there are many who will lean on their friends only to find that their friends leave them and they have rejected their family. Our Father in heaven is the greatest relationship that we can ever have. And I want you to know, your family is right behind that. Family is a precious gift from the Lord. Family is a precious gift from the Lord. And let me just say that every family looks a little bit different. And that's okay. So long as you always realize that God is the Father of all. And we're just passing through here. And so God is the Father of the fatherless. And He will never leave you. And He will never forsake you. You can rest in that. He recognized what sin had cost Him. He recognized what sin had cost Him. He rose and returned to make a decision without follow-through will never lead to a changed life or bettering your circumstances. But He made the decision to turn. And look what he did here. He says, I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my Father and say to Him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. You see, whenever there's a turn in your life, there's a turn in your heart. And he admitted his sin. He admitted his wrongdoing. I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. The life of every believer understands and realizes that they are unworthy to be a child of God. I am not worthy to be God's child. I am not worthy to be His son. But here's the good news. I am made worthy through the blood of Jesus Christ. So when Jesus looked at me and Jesus looked at you, you know what He saw? Worth. Because you were made and created in the image of God Himself. And so He looks at you as worthy through the blood of His Son Jesus. Now whenever God looks at me, you know how He looks at me? Through the blood of Jesus. I'm not worthy to be His son, but made worthy through the blood of Jesus Christ. And He says, I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants. We see right up here on top of this that He says, Father, give me my share. And now He's saying, Father, make me. You see the transition? See, whenever we're self-centered, we say, give me. Whenever God breaks our heart, we say, make me. Make me more like your son. Change me into the image of your son. Change me. Change me. Break and rearrange me. Come and make me holy, just like you. Change me, Lord. I don't want to sin. Be my cure. Make my life look just like yours. Change me. Change me, my Lord. And I want you to know that God is writing a story in your life. And your story is unfolding every single day. And Satan wants you to think that your life is of no count, of no value. And he wants to minimize that in your life. But there is a story that's unfolding. And you don't even know yet the story that's unfolding in your life. Nolan, there is a story that's unfolding in your life. Jerry, there is a story that's unfolding in your life. Carson, there is a story that is unfolding in your life. And God isn't done. I am so excited to see what God is going to do in Nicolette's life. He's breaking He's breaking us and making us more into the image of His Son, that we may be proclamators of the gospel. You see, it's not about the two sons. It's about the loving Father. It's about living your life for the loving Father. And to see it unfold, even in my own life. We see here the Father's reception. Make me like one of your hired servants. So he got up and he went to his father. Man, can you imagine? After asking your father to give me your inheritance, I wish you were dead. And he's coming back. Can you see the anxiety as he's coming down the road? What am I going to say? How's he going to respond? Sometimes we're afraid to come to the Father because we're afraid how he's going to respond. After all, I've been going my own way for a while now. Sometimes that can even deter you from even coming back because you're afraid how he's going to respond, because sometimes we think God responds the way our earthly fathers respond. And he is nothing, nothing, nothing like your earthly father. And he's coming. And he's rehearsing. And this is a beautiful, beautiful picture. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. Luke, his father saw him. What? Had he been planted at the door? Had he been sitting at the chair by the window every day looking for the one who broke his heart? How'd he see him in a long way off? He didn't hear the door shut and thought it was the other son coming in. That's not what the Bible says. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. He didn't go to the back room and say, I see him coming, I'm going to make him come to me. Oh, I'm going to give him what for. There's that son of mine who wished I were dead, who I gave half my property to and everything to. I'm going to show him. I'm going to let him beg. Well, the Bible says that he was filled with compassion. And he took off out the door. I bet he broke the hinges on the door. He took off and the Bible says that he flung it open. Look what it says. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to his son. And he threw his arms around him and he kissed him. We see the father's reception, that the father never chased after him, but he never stopped looking for him. Your son or daughter may not be where they need to be, but never give up on them. You never give up on them. You keep praying for them. You keep looking for them. And you, with compassion filled, whenever they come back home, you embrace them and you love them and you kiss them. Calvin and I were talking a little while ago about this passage of Scripture and just thinking through the ramifications of this and how much this father must have loved this son and how he longed for his return back home because he didn't know where he was. He didn't know what he was in. He didn't know that he was in a hog pen. But let me just say this. God hears the prayers of His saints. The prayers of a righteous man or a woman availeth much. You know what I believe? I believe the Father never stopped praying for His Son. And I believe that His Son got to a place of where His Son needed to be because the Father was praying. You never stop praying. And know that God may not use you, but He may use your prayers to send someone else to reach that one you love. And in this case, God put him in a hog pen of life. And he came to his senses. So in this passage of Scripture, it encourages us to be a people of prayer. To know that God is watching over them, that God is protecting them. And God will put them where they need to be at just the right time to get their attention. And God will get your attention. He will. So we see that the first thing He did was He ran to Him and He embraced Him. The Bible says that He put a robe on Him. And this is a picture of the righteousness of Christ. That whenever you came to Christ, that He clothed you in His righteousness. For those who were born again believers, He put His righteousness on you. You are clothed in His righteousness. He put a ring on His finger, which is a sign of restored position of authority. And He put shoes on His feet. Servants wore no shoes. And He was elevated above the servanthood to a place of honor. You got to remember that God is more willing to pardon than to punish. He's more willing to pardon than to punish. And then we see that the family rejoices. That all of heaven rejoices over one sinner coming to Jesus. Whenever a person comes to Christ, all of heaven is rejoicing. We could do a lot more rejoicing, church. As you know, you have these memories in your Facebook. And I was telling Brody, popped up 2 days ago or yesterday, Brody following a believer's baptism. And I rejoiced again over that day. And there was a picture that I saw with Brody and his mom hugging. And just thinking about a mom and her son coming to know Christ. And what a beautiful picture that is, and a father hugging the son. And all of heaven rejoices at the announcement of the son's birth, but there was another son. And I want us to see this picture that both sons are lost. There was one son who thought that he was okay because he did everything right. He was doing all the right things. This was a picture of self-righteousness. Sometimes we look at that one who's in rebellion doing all that thing and they're more lost than the person who's self-righteous going through the motions and doing all this thing. That's a picture of someone coming to church all their life and never repenting of their sin and putting their faith and trust in Christ. I've been to church every time the doors were open. I went to Sunday school. I went to church choir. I did all of this. So therefore, I must be okay. No. You're just as lost as the other son. Because there are views in our mind that we think there are degrees of lostness. Lostness is lostness no matter what. To be almost saved is to be totally lost. There's no such thing of almost saved. To be saved is to be clothed in righteousness. To be lost is to be lost forever if you never repent of your sins. And then let me finish up here. Y'all be mad at me because I let the first service out a little earlier than you. No, I'm kidding you. And look, you know, after that first service, you kind of gain some more thoughts. And so you get the extra gaining of thoughts between the services. It says, but while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and filled with compassion, he ran to his son and threw his arms around him and kissed him. The son The son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servants, Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and he is alive again. He was lost and he is found. And they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field. And when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. Can you imagine this older brother saying, Praise the Lord, my brother's home. Yes! But the older brother became angry and he refused to go in. The picture of a Christian, right? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. And so he refused to go in, and so his father went out and pleaded with him, his heart breaking again. But he answered his father, Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your order. Do you feel like as a Christian you're slaving for God? Or do you find it a joy to serve the Lord? If you're in a place where you feel like you're slaving for God and it's work, there's something wrong. Because as a born-again believer, it is a privilege and a wonderful opportunity and a joy to serve the Lord. He says, Look, all these years I have been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, not this brother of mine, but this son of yours, it used to be sometimes when our kids did something wrong, Cammy would say, that kid of yours, I'm kidding, who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill a fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you're always with me and everything I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he is found. I was reading a story of a young boy who came to church by himself. Parents didn't come and he came. He rode his bike. He didn't have much. Had a tough home life. And they were having a potluck. He had heard them talking about this potluck at church and that everyone needed to bring a dish. And this gives us thought too into different thinkings of different people within the church. And in his mind he's thinking, what am I going to bring to this potluck? So he goes home, this young boy goes home and he opens up the pantry and he finds in there a little bag of half-eaten chips. Half the bag was gone, half was left in it, and so he said, I'll bring that back. Can you imagine what some people would say in the church for a kid bringing a half a bag of chips, but not these ladies. Their spiritual antennas were in tune. And when he brought those in, he brought them proudly to those ladies and gave them half a bag of chips. So you know what those ladies did? They did do-over on that. They took those chips and they smiled and they lifted him up and they went and got a little platter and they put those chips on that platter and they put that out on that potluck. He thought he had done something great. And then when they were going for that meal, they brought his meal to him and they filled it up with all kinds of food. You see, that's what God does. You come to God in all your brokenness and all of your emptiness and what you have. You know what God does? He fills you up. God's not concerned about all the things you've accomplished in this life or all the things that you've gained in this life. What God is concerned about is your heart toward Him. Your heart toward Him. I want you to know this morning, more than anything else, God loves you where you are. And you and me should be praying for that one or those ones that are not where they need to be. I've said it 1,000 times and I'll keep saying it. I believe that I am where I am by the grace of God. But I also believe that God heard the prayers of a praying grandmother who did not give up on any of her grandchildren or on any of her kids. And you would find her on her knees praying for each and every one of them, knowing that her God was listening to her prayers. And at just the right time, God will work in their life and put them where they need to be to get them where they need to be. There's nothing that should keep you in that seat today if there's someone on your heart that you need to come and pray for, that God would intervene. And if you're here today, and you know what? Let's just be real. This young boy come to his senses. He realized that he was not where he needed to be and he was going in the wrong direction. I can't think of a better place to be and to be right here before the Lord saying, God, I have been going in the wrong way, in the wrong direction. And right now, God, I just confess that to you. God, put me back on your track, on your road. And he turned. He turned. Or maybe you're here today and you're lost. You're like I was when I was 23 years old and thought I knew everything. I heard the gospel. The gospel broke my heart, made me alive. I'll never forget, there's no way I could sit in that seat any longer when God was calling me to salvation. And I jumped up out of that pew and I said, I know I'm lost. I need to be saved. I don't know what I'm doing, but I know I need to make my life. I know I need my life right again. Or right, not again. And God saved me. And God can do the same for you. Because He loves you. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your love over us. And Lord, we know that You knew exactly where Your Son was because You were God. And Father, this is a wonderful picture for us to see Your love for us. We can't even fathom it. Lord, You loved us with a cross. And You gave us all of Your love. Not just bits and pieces of it, but absolutely all of it. Father, I pray for that one right now that's broken. Their heart's broken. Maybe a family member's broken it. I pray that God this morning they'll fall at this altar and cry out for them. I pray for that one who's not walking in Your ways, who's following after their own self-centeredness and their own desires. That God, You would get their attention and God, You would bring them back. I pray for that one right now that's lost, that may be just trying to get out of here. That God, You would burden them so much. That, Lord, they have to fall at Your feet. I pray for that one here today that just feels like they're so unworthy. But they see today that we all are. And that You are the only one worthy. And that we praise and worship You for being worthy. And that You made us worthy through the blood of Your Son, Jesus. So Lord, during this invitation, You work like You always do. in a way that only you can work. You know who needs to be dealt with. You know who needs to be prayed for. You know who needs to be intercessed for. So let us get up and let us come and let us fall before you. Because you're the only one that can make right the wrong right. So Lord, we pray that you would work and move. We love you, Lord. In Jesus' name.